Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hello, everybody. I am Mark Brody. Here with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, until 9 o'clock tonight. And I certainly want to hear from you now and always. And to get through to The Score and to speak to me through our executive producer, Tyler Farengel, the number is 312-644-6767. That number to call or to text as well, that is a possibility for you as well. Either way, 312-644-6767 is the number. We have a great show planned for you tonight at 7 o'clock. We will have Bob Nightingale, baseball columnist for the USA Today, to get his thoughts on both of our teams, the Cubs and the White Sox, what is happening now and what might happen in the future. So Bob will be on with us at 7 o'clock. And then we've got the King on tonight at 8 o'clock. Stacy King, Bulls broadcaster, will join us at 8 o'clock. Also, he is the host of the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast with his usual partner, Mark Schanowski, and company on their great podcast. Stacy King will join us to talk Bulls coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. But, oh, man, what a day of baseball today. For, again, both of our teams had very fascinating ball games for once. This is a rare moment where both teams won and both games were wholly entertaining in different ways. Well, I don't know how entertaining you thought the Cubs game was or should have been based on some of the usual errors and mistakes that the Cubs made in their game, but they did win. The Cubs win today 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants. They get it done in 10 innings. Ian Happ with the game-winning two-run homer in the 10th inning of the game. As the Cubs, it was, and we'll dig into this more, but it was, just to give you the headline about the offense up to that point, rough. 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position for the Cubs up to that point, and that's in the extra inning, and there was one out already, and so you started to feel that. I had that feeling of doom once there was one out in that 10th inning and with the base runner not advancing to at least third, and I thought that's probably going to do it, just the way the game had been going and the way the season has gone, quite frankly. But Ian Happ comes through with the big home run. The Cubs end up winning the game 5-3. Shota Imanaga started 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, struck out 3, walked a couple of guys, 93 pitches on the day. He got out of a 2-on, nobody out jam in the 3rd inning. That was one of his best pieces of work all day right there. Rebounds from the Mets loss. There was one really bad inning, the 6th inning, for a lot of people that were going to talk about here in a second, but Shota Imanaga, after that 11-1 loss to the Mets, needed to come back strong, and he did. Doesn't seem like he's blowing guys away anymore. Like the strikeout numbers, obviously down, 3 strikeouts during his 6 innings of work. He's not fooling guys as much, but he did get in there and give them a strong 6 innings. It was Porter Hodge getting the save. The bullpen was really good today for the Cubs. Luke Little, Tyson Miller, Hector Neris was good in the 9th, and then there was Porter Hodge getting his first career save. So that's the snapshot on what the Cubs did today. And, oh, boy, do I want to talk, though, about the 6th inning of the Cubs game, which we're going to do here in just a couple of minutes. But on the White Sox today as well, just to get you caught up on them, because probably driving home from work, a lot of you right now, and didn't get to catch any of the baseball today. The White Sox beat the Braves 1-0, and it was a full, all-out bullpen day for the White Sox today, and they pulled it off. They pulled off a bullpen day, man. Chad Kuhl, is a starter. Three innings, one hit, and followed by Justin Anderson, Jared Schuster, who ends up getting the W by his name, John Brebbia, and then Michael Kopech combined on what turned out to be a three-hit shutout against the Atlanta Braves. This was a makeup game from the finale. Remember that second series of the season, finale of the game? This was the date. The date is here, the one that seemed so distant at the time. That was that game, and the Sox beat the Braves 1-0. It gets better, too. Luis Robert providing the offense with a home run. And they do this again. The home run for Robert came against Chris Sale, the ex-White Sox, where his career started. Sale today, he was great too, except for the home run to Robert. Who knew that would be it? Seven innings, one run on four hits was what Chris Sale did. And oh yeah, 11 strikeouts and one walk as this kind of revitalizing of Chris Sale continues. And hopefully, I mean, we all know with Sale, you hope for guys like that. Just stay healthy, man, because he is still something to watch pitch. And obviously the results are still quite something as well. So yeah, very interesting day for both the Cubs and the White Sox. And if my baseball people are out there and you feel like talking about your team, the Cubs or the Sox, the games that you watch today, 312-644-6767. That is the number to call to jump in here on The Score. Also coming up next, there was a bad direction this Cubs game was heading in, as they had themselves a nice lead in the sixth inning, and it was fascinating as to exactly how the lead went away in that sixth inning. So a great call by Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer. That is coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back in. Indeed.
I can get you sleep.
Cubs beat San Francisco 5-3 in 10 innings. Ian Happ, the game-winning two-run homer in the ninth. 312-644-6767 if you want to talk Chicago sports, and we're specifically talking about this game for the Cubs and baseball in our city, because both teams had interesting wins today. The Cubs win and the Sox beat the Braves 1-0 in that makeup game against Atlanta. And you hear, by the way, Tyler Farrengold, I got to tell you, you got there, man. You got there because we were talking behind the scenes, or Tyler offered to me that what he was going to come back with. And he said, what's the name of that band that sings Land Down Under? And I couldn't think of it at first, but then I came up with it. And I'm like, oh yeah, Men at Work. But he was talking about a line that had, you know, it's a mistake for the Land Down Under. That's two different songs, but you found it right there. So is that song It's a Mistake? Tyler, please share your process with us.
Oh, yeah. No, the process was pretty clear there, Grody. I didn't find that song, but I found another song that fully represents, I feel like, the Cubs day in and day out games, which is Overkill. That's what they do to us.
Oh,
every single
overkill.
Game is, yeah. It's like, ugh. It's a process.
I didn't even think of it that way. The Cubs are, and another word for it would be stressful, Tyler. Is that a proper synonym or comparison to what you're saying when you use overkill?
To say the least.
Yeah, right. It's stressful watching. Like, they were on a path to losing this game in horrific fashion. Again, like, this could have been, and we'll share the moment with you here in just a bit, but that was where it was headed. And there's been way too many of these games this year for the Cubs where they don't just lose, but it's in like the absolute worst, goriest possible way they lose these games. I mean, we've already seen one of those in this series already, like where that went to the top of the line, the Monday loss where Drew Smyly walks a guy with the bases loaded to end the game in sudden death, and more importantly, the Cubs blew a 4-0 lead in that game. And that was only the most recent, this is the worst loss of the season moment for the Cubs. That's where it was heading today. You had the, and not that long ago, against San Francisco, just at Wrigley Field, different venue, you had the Tyro Estrada 3-run homer off Hector Neris in the ninth. And this is like one of the first times that he's pitched since. Hector Neris, very, very good today. But that was another example. And then all that damage from the beginning of the year. Do you remember the Cubs starting their season at 4-0 this year? Like out of the gates, they were 4-0. As I was just looking back at their schedule in this, what has felt like a wildly long season, longer than most even.
I remember 17-9, and they lost to the Red Sox 17-0. At Fenway. It was a Saturday game, and it was, you remember that, Grody? It was right after Shohei Imanaga just dominated them on Friday, 17-0 on Saturday. They lose on Sunday, and to your point, ever since then, it's felt like things have slowly started to crumble.
Yeah, I mean, that was just another horrific, horrendous Cubs loss. I mean, that's the one, like, everybody's got one. When I was looking back, I'm like, I remembered there was something in San Diego. And I was like, yes, my memory is still working. It's still functioning because on April 8th in San Diego, the Cubs had an 8-0 lead. And then they ended up losing that game 9-8. Remember Fernando Tatis with a home run in the eighth against Adbert Alzolay, just in like what was a never ending series of blown saves for Alzolay earlier this year. So yeah, there's just been way too many of these moments. So I'm glad that they dodged the bullet in this one. But let me take you to the sixth inning. And it was funny because as I came on the air, just turned on the text machine to see what had been cooking, and there was a texter who said, let me see if I can get to it. Well, the gist of it was, can we just get to the part where the Cubs blow this game, basically? Because it was the San Francisco sixth inning. It was 3-0 Cubs. Jorge Soler with an 0-2 count. There were two outs. Hits a ground rule double to make it 3-1. Should have pointed out there were men on. So it's a 3-1 ball game. And it, because it was a ground rule double, the guy had to stop at third very easily. That person would have scored, no doubt about it. It could have been a 3-2 game, so it looked like they dodged a bullet. But then, like on the next pitch, Imanaga throws a wild pitch to come on in. Yep, you get to come on in now. Did look like we dodged a bullet, but did not. That made it Cubs 3-2. And this is great, by the way. This is some, I hate to have it be in a negative circumstance, but this call by Pat Hughes, the words he uses and the tone, it's just classic almost. And then Ron Coomer after that put on an exhibition in terms of what should have happened, as we take you to this moment with Luis Matos at the plate and the Cubs holding on dear life to a 1-run lead.
Tying run 90 feet away. A dribbler toward first. It'll be fielded by no one. And it's a base hit. And the ball game is tied. Shota thought that Bush was going to make the play. It was too far in for the second baseman, Horner. Shota went after the ball. And when he did, Bush went back to cover first. Shota couldn't get there, and the ball game is tied on a very strange-looking infield RBI single.
Yeah, this is a split finger and just a cue shot on 2-0. And just rolls out past Imanaga. And, you know, it's one of those plays, Michael Bush with a little indecision on whether he should go for this ball or not. Does not go for it, and it ends up being a base hit.
Estrada will take a strike. I think Bush saw that Shota was going after the ground ball, So that's when he backed off of trying to glove it run and ran over to cover first. Here's a smash foul. Just a highly unusual looking run scoring single for Luis Matos.
Well, you have rules for plays like that, right? You've got rules for the first baseman and rules for the pitcher in pitcher's fielding practice. Both guys went away from the rules of what you're supposed to do.
Taken high and outside. Go ahead, Ron.
When the ball's hit to the first base side for Shota, if you're going to field the ball, you've got to stay in route going to first. If it takes you out of your route going to first, it's the first baseman's ball.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, unfortunately, the Pat Hughes call of fielded by no one. I mean, that was devastating. I mean, just relative to the way this season has gone. And then Coombe with the great follow-up and explanation right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. But to the Cubs' credit, they did rebound. They did rebound and end up winning this game. It certainly did not feel like it. We were going to have to put it in that pile of games. And, yeah, I just think I do need to correct myself. As the texter pointed out to me, the Cubs lost their first two games of the season in Texas. They were never 4-0. They swept Colorado in the first homestand. Maybe that's where my brain was going, but I apologize for that that mistake there. But the point still holds. We know that the Cubs had a very good start on the overall to their season this year, and the whole thing has just gotten to the point where even the wins are getting back to our bigger point that Tyler brought up, that these games, they are overkill, as Tyler put it, and had the musical attachment to it. They are stressful. They are difficult to watch, and maybe they'd be a little bit more enjoyable. Like, you kind of want to enjoy that and just talk more about Ian Happ and him hitting the game-winning two-run homer in the 10th. Like, that's the real part. That's the part that will be remembered ultimately. Happ with the home run in the 10th, and the Cubs get the victory. But it was, unfortunately, it's more like relief than elation when you're watching these games right now. When they do win, it's like, okay, you know, it's like another, you live another day almost. It, you know, one win can do wonders for your mind in terms of reminding you that this team is capable of doing things like that. However, a lot of those fatal flaws were still, you know, they still were existing today, or at least one of them, the runners in scoring position, 1-for-10 with that heading into the 10th inning for that Ian Happ homer. So they had left on 9 base runners in the regulation 9 innings. So that was a concern. On the other side, though, for the Cubs, you got to give the bullpen a lot of credit, because every day, again, speaking of stressful, the bullpen looked good. You got exactly what you needed from them. Obviously was a group effort. Luke Little was outstanding. So was Tyson Miller. Hector Neris got himself back in gear. And then there was Porter Hodge at the end. Porter, another Cub, gets his first career save. And in this case, it was Porter Hodge. So it came together in this one. But I do wonder from people, and when you're watching these Cubs games, and maybe you missed this one, do you watch it the way you've watched past Cubs games, where you can kind of just look at it objectively and allow yourself to be entertained? Or do you feel that sense of overkill, or do you feel that stress watching these games? 312-644-6767 if you want to get into that. And they needed this one, man. I mean, just this, you don't want to get swept in 4 games. That always looks a little bit worse on the resume. This is a horrible feeling for a team to get swept in 3, but 4 is like, that is really hard to swallow. And the Cubs were able to salvage one, still losing 3 out of 4. But yeah, I mean, just like going through some of the trying moments of this series with, you know, I know, Hayden settled down a little. Wesneski last night, but he gave up two homers, and you had Drew Smyly giving up a go-ahead homer to Matos at one point in that game. And then that part again where we see the sloppiness of the individual. Like, we can all circle and point to why on this team way too easily. You know, Christopher Morel gets picked off of first in that game yesterday. You had the double steal attempt in the eighth inning when it's a 4-3 game. Morel on first, Happ on second. They try to pull off the double steal, and then Tyler Rogers, I don't know if he sniffed it out. Obviously he did, because he'd flung it over to third, and Happ was easily out at third base. So that was it was excusable in terms of a play. Like, I didn't have that big of an issue with that play. They just didn't pull it off in that tight spot. And it was a really nice play by Tyler Rogers, the side armor. That guy is like Dan Quisenberry coming from really low. But yeah, I mean, you just didn't want to be headed for another one of those rough moments. And then the Monday game, which we've already talked about, that was the 5-4 game where Smyly walks the guy with the bases loaded. The Hendricks game, even though they lose that, Kyle Hendricks allowing two runs on five hits, four strikeouts, one walk, got to 100 pitches, 12-pitch at-bat that Hendricks had to deal with and got through. So that was one of the highlights of the series as well, but too much of it still very, very stressful. Here's the other part. Guess what's next for the Cubs? Perfect to fit into this theme of stressful watching. The Cubs are taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. It's going to be the Cubs at Milwaukee tomorrow night. Jameson Taillon, 4-3 with a 290 going in the opener for the Cubs. Colin Ray will be the man on the mound for the Brewers, 6-2 with a 3.62 ERA. And I believe if my math is right, the Cubs 38-44. If you're looking at the division at all anymore at this point, it looks like they are 10.5 back of Milwaukee, which is idle today. But that will be a fun three-game series. And by the way, because you do have to look ahead, never mind this just day-to-day, game-by-game thing, that not only do the Cubs have this tough series against a good Milwaukee team that they are, in theory, chasing, then after that, they're going to have maybe the best team in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies, waiting for them at home. So this is continues to be a tough stretch, and so far they're not passing the test here, having salvaged one today, losing 3 out of 4. 312-644-6767 still to come tonight. We're going to talk more baseball at the top of the hour with Bob Nightingale, see what his long view of both the Cubs and the White Sox are. And at 8 o'clock tonight, we're going to bring in Stacey King. Yeah, we are definitely going to dedicate a couple segments to the Bulls tonight. The Bulls, who drafted Matas Buzelis last night. I was actually out at the Bulls training facility right by the United Center, the Advocate Center, as they call it, so I can give you a little bit of a flavor of what was going on there, who was there, what the scene was like, and what the reaction was like. But definitely want to hear what Stacey King has to say about what the Bulls are doing, and I've not heard from him on what he thought about the Josh Giddey deal. And we will also hear from Arturas Karnišovas. Broke down a few of the cuts, some things that I thought were important from it that will lead to some good Bulls conversation as well. And we are open, 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
As we continue to talk about the Cubs, let me just remind you that they did win today. They did win. So no matter where the conversation goes, and The idea that the Cubs won probably still will not be dominating the conversation because we know that there are bigger issues with the Cubs. But for the record, the Cubs won today 5-3 over the Giants in 10. Ian Happ, a game-winning two-run homer in the 10th inning. There were a lot of things that didn't look good as usual with some, that suspect sixth inning that we told you about, with it, some poor defense by the Cubs again. So those things did creep up, but the Cubs do win the game today. I am Mark Rohde here with you until 9 o'clock, 312-644-6767. Bob Nightingale will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes from now, 7 o'clock, to talk about what is coming up for the Cubs and the Sox and the futures of the organizations and that whole part of it. But let's take some calls. I see some good text messages coming in as well at 312-644-6767. We start with Mike in Tinley Park. Hello, Mike. You're on the Score.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I promised the man who answered the phone that I would not say bad words on the phone. But
oh, okay. Were you throwing some hard words at the producer?
Was that what was going on? No,
okay.
But I did promise, because I'm talking about the Cubs bullpen. It's very hard to talk about them and maintain a decorum. But my whole thing is, as with you, they don't hit. But you know what? If you cash in on 2/3 of your saves, you're right near the Brewers. I mean, it's pathetic to watch that. I just want to see Neris, and I want to see Wisniewski, and I want to see Smiley on a bus to Iowa. Let the young kids pitch.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I think I may have. God, I really like Hayden Wisniewski, not Wisniewski. You said Wisniewski. It's Wisniewski.
Whatever he is. He was good last year. He throws home baller like he's batting practice.
It's very upsetting. It's very, because he does seem to have, Wisniewski, does seem to have really good stuff, but you're right, man.
Yes.
Mike, he gives up home runs. Like even yesterday, he gave up two yesterday. He gave up two,
yes,
and he's, yes, like I said, I heard him. Zach had him on the pregame show today, and he's such an earnest, sincere kid. Like, and so I hate the fact that. But you're right. He just gives up bomb after bomb after bomb.
Oh, and there. I mean, and I heard a great thing. You don't just, if you get a closer, that's great. They blow them in the seventh and eighth innings, too.
Oh,
I mean,
I know.
You got a real you don't have a bullpen, period. You know,
yeah.
I mean, let these young kids play. They got live arms, and give it a shot. All I want to say, and I'll let you go, thank you for taking my call, but if you recall, in 05, the Sox were ready to blow that pennant, and what happened? They had no clothes, and all of a sudden, late August, they bring up this kid named Bobby Jenks.
Uh-huh.
Dragged him up from the farm system with nothing but a fastball. And
right. Ready,
there you go.
Yeah. He was thanks for the call. Yeah, it was their third closer of the year. Bobby Jenks was just on the Score the other day with Parkins and Spiegel. He's coaching one of these teams, you know, how we have all these other teams in the summer. He's doing one of those things. So Bobby Jenks, and who was it? Dustin Hermanson and Shingo Takatsu for the White Sox that year. But the Sox were in much better shape than the Cubs are now. The Cubs are in, of course, they need a closer, but they don't even know what their season is going to be. That's the problem. Scott in Arlington Heights. Hello, Scott. You're on the Score.
Hey, Grody. Okay, hear me out on this one.
Okay,
this is
Scott.
This is coming off of Nico Horner having a great series, and he just had a great game. But what I think the Cubs should do is to put PCA at the top of the lineup, and here's why. You saw in the last couple games today, he sold two bases. The other day, he had he went from first to home, and it was just watching him on the base pass. But with all the rules changes, the bigger bases, the pitch clock, you can only throw over there twice to get any bats from the left side. Give this young guy a chance. I think they treat him with kid gloves by putting him at the bottom of the lineup. Let him go at the top. he has moxie. If he can just do the job in the leadoff spot and put Bellinger second as a lefty, I think that's what the Cubs need to do. There's lots of rookies around the league that are doing well. Jackson Merrill out in San Diego. Let him play. Let him be at the top of the lineup with his speed. Let him get on base, and then I think that will open things up. And, again, I know this is coming off of Nico Hoerner just having a tremendous game, but I really feel like the Cubs should put PCA at the top of the lineup. I really do.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate the call, and I will say I don't hate that idea because I haven't figured out what Pete Crow Armstrong is yet either. I mean, I think one of the problems right now is in an offense, the Cubs, that is bereft of home run hitting this year, and I know they've hit more recently, but is PCA going to hit home runs? I know his first hit was a – was it his first hit that was a home run? No, that's not right. I know he hit at the beginning of the season, he had a monstrous home run, but is that – can he do that? So, like – can you afford to have this guy getting, you know, extra at bats if he's not going to be one of those to solve the Cubs slug issues? But I'm all over the board with Pete.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
As we continue to talk about the Cubs, let me just remind you that they did win today. They did win. So no matter where the conversation goes and the idea that the Cubs won probably still will not be dominating the conversation because we know that there are bigger issues with the Cubs. But for the record, the Cubs won today 5-3 over the Giants in 10. Ian Happ, a game-winning two-run homer in the 10th inning. There were a lot of things that didn't look good as usual with some, that suspect sixth inning that we told you about, with it, some poor defense by the Cubs again. So those things did creep up, but the Cubs do win the game today. I am Mark Rohde here with you until 9 o'clock, 312-644-6767. Bob Nightingale will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes from now, 7 o'clock, to talk about what is coming up for the Cubs and the Sox and the futures of the organizations and that whole part of it. But let's take some calls. I see some good text messages coming in as well at 312-644-6767. We start with Mike in Tinley Park. Hello, Mike. You're on the Score.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I promised the man who answered the phone that I would not say bad words on the phone. But
oh, okay. Were you throwing some hard words at the producer? Was that what was going on?
No, okay. But I did promise because I'm talking about the Cubs bullpen. It's very hard to talk about them and maintain a decorum. But my whole thing is as with you. They don't hit. But you know what? If you cash in on two-thirds of your saves, you're right near the Brewers. I mean, it's pathetic to watch that. I just want to see Neris, and I want to see Wisniewski, and I want to see Smiley on a bus to Iowa. Let the young kids pitch.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I think I may have God, I really like Hayden Wisniewski, not Wisniewski. You said Wisniewski. It's Wisniewski.
Whatever he is. He was good last year. He throws home ball like he's been batting practice.
It's very upsetting. It's very – because he does seem to have – Wisniewski does seem to have really good stuff, but you're right, man.
Yes.
Mike, he gives up home runs like even yesterday. he gave up two yesterday. He gave up two.
Yes,
and
he's, yes.
Like I said, I heard him. Zach had him on the pregame show today, and he's such an earnest, sincere kid. Like, and so I hate the fact that, but you're right, he just gives up bomb after bomb after bomb.
Oh, and there, I mean, and I heard a great thing. You don't just, if you get a closer, that's great. They blow them in the seventh and eighth innings, too.
I know.
You got a real – you don't have a bullpen, period.
You know, yeah. I mean, let these young kids play. They got live arms, and give it a shot. All I want to say, and I'll let you go, thank you for taking my call, but if you recall, in 05, the Sox were ready to blow that pennant. And what happened? They had no clothes, and all of a sudden, what, late August, they bring up this kid named Bobby Jenks.
Uh-huh.
Just dragged him up from the farm system with nothing but a fastball. And
right.
There you go.
Yeah. He was thanks for the call. Yeah, it was their third closer of the year. Bobby Jenks was just on the score the other day with Parkins and Spiegel. He's coaching one of these teams, how we have all these other teams in the summer. He's doing one of those things. So, Bobby Jenks and who was it? Dustin Hermanson and Shingo Takatsu for the White Sox that year. But the Sox were in much better shape than the Cubs are now. The Cubs are in, of course, they need a closer, but they don't even know what their season is going to be. That's the problem. Scott in Arlington Heights. Hello, Scott. You're on the score.
Hey, Grody. Okay, hear me out on this one.
Okay,
this is
Scott.
This is coming off of Nico Horner having a great series, and he just had a great game. But what I think the Cubs should do is to put PCA at the top of the lineup, and here's why. You saw in the last couple games today, he stole two bases. The other day, he had he went from first to home, and it was just watching him on the base pass. But with all the rules changes, the bigger bases, the pitch clock, you can only throw over there twice to get any bats from the left side. Give this young guy a chance. I think they treat him with kid gloves by putting him at the bottom of the lineup. Let him go at the top. He has moxie. If he can just do the job in the leadoff spot and put Bellinger second as a lefty, I think that's what the Cubs need to do. There's lots of rookies around the league that are doing well. Jackson Merrill out in San Diego. Let him play. Let him be at the top of the lineup with his speed. Let him get on base, and then I think that will open things up. And again, I know this is coming off of Nico Horner just having a tremendous game, but I really feel like the Cubs should put PCA at the top of the lineup. I really do.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate the call, and I will say I don't hate that idea because I haven't figured out what Pete Crow Armstrong is yet either. I mean, I think one of the problems right now is in an offense, the Cubs, that is bereft of home run hitting this year, and I know they've hit more recently, but is PCA going to hit home runs? I know his first hit was it his first hit that was a home run? No, that's not right. I know he hit at the beginning of the season, he had a monstrous home run, but can he do that? So, like, can you afford to have this guy getting extra at-bats if he's not going to be one of those to solve the Cubs' slug issues? But I'm all over the board with PCA, to be honest with you, because I just don't know. Like, is he the speedy, scrappy, terrific outfielder that is going to be light-hitting and not particularly disciplined at the plate? Do they project him to hit 13 to 15 home runs a year and knock guys in? So I am struggling right now to know the vision of what the Cubs foresee for PCA. Like, at its best, like the ideal situation with PCA, that they'd be like, yep, this is what we were thinking about. Is it the eighth hitter? Is it the leadoff hitter eventually? Is he a four or five or six hitter? Is he top of the lineup? He has been a bit of a conundrum. He's essentially a rookie, though, and I know he got some time last year and just looked overmatched at the plate. And then keep in mind, too, that a lot of things necessitated him coming up in the first place this year, and then being sent back, and then getting really good again, and heating up, and then returning back to the big. So, yeah, obviously, I've got more to say about PCA, but we do need to take a break right now. When we come back, though, we're going to keep the baseball talk hot, man. Let's talk with Bob Nightingale, baseball columnist for USA Today. He is very familiar with the Cubs and the Sox. We'll pick his brain next. I'm Mark Grody, here till 9 o'clock on The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.